We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation right here on Prophecy Today. We look at an issue or issues that will confront the body of Christ. We as individual Christians have a lifestyle laid out in God's Word, the pattern for us to walk in each and every day. And David and I bring up some sometimes sticky issues and discuss them. We get reaction from our listeners. We enjoy that interaction with them as they may send us an email or write us a letter or whatever. Well, we're here now to have another discussion, but instead of just one, let me use the plural, discussions on a number of issues, the plural in both of those, as we think about the year 2019. Remember last week we talked about what happened over the last year, 2018. Now we're going to look into the future of 2019, give you some ideas of what we see on the horizon. David, we catch you, I guess, just getting ready for your first ministry trip of the year. Where are you headed out to this time?
I'm heading out to the Philippines for 3 weeks, and I'll be teaching 4 courses during that time. I'll be teaching first God's plan through the ages, then Proverbs, current theological issues, and finally the book of Daniel.
Wow, you've got a boatload of teaching to do out there in the Philippines. No pun intended, talking about the islands and your travel between those islands in the Philippines. Well, greet everybody out there for us. I was there a couple of years back. Beautiful location. We went up in the mountains, and it is so beautiful in that country. Have a great time of teaching. Well, last week we did, as I said, take a look at some of the major issues that we discussed in 2018. So this week we're looking ahead to some of the things that we think may be major issues in 2019. Let's start off with President Trump and the situation in Washington. David, what do you see that will potentially have an impact on believers, Christians, in 2019 from Washington?
Well, as our listeners know, the 116th Congress convened on Thursday, and Nancy Pelosi was sworn in as the Speaker of the House as the Democrats took majority. And her acceptance speech, I would say, was mainly political throwaway lines. But there were a couple concerning 2 major issues facing our country. She said this: we will make America fairer by passing the Equality Act to end discrimination against LGBTQ Americans. And then the next sentence, she said, we will make America more American by protecting our patriotic, courageous dreamers. So with the majority of Democrats being social liberals, the line about discrimination about LGBTQ Americans means gridlock at best, but possibly serious trouble for many Christian business owners in 2019 and beyond. And I also would say that it means a changing environment for ministries and schools, and their positions need to be in doctrinal statements to try to at least get some protection under the First Amendment. And also, this opens the door to homosexuality becoming ever more socially acceptable. Of course, we're seeing more commercials and TV shows with homosexuals and transgenders, and more importantly, I would say, openly gay elected government officials across the country. On the second issue of immigration and security on our southern border, I would say I'm finding that there is quite a bit of division among believers about just what to do about it. And while there is very little that most of us can do about the problem of illegal immigration on a day-to-day basis, I think believers should be ready to take advantage of this changing demographic in many communities across the U.S. because the Latin American mission field is literally coming to us.
Dave, another thing which could affect Christians is the possibility of the president appointing a 3rd Supreme Court justice, which would be the most since Ronald Reagan, who actually appointed 4 justices when he was president.
That's right. Back on December 24th, the Business Insider website reported that Trump could end up replacing 3 or even 4 Supreme Court justices in his first term. They were reporting just after Ruth Bader Ginsburg had spent 72 hours in the hospital after surgery for lung cancer, which was found after she had broken ribs in November. And in October, the news website Axios cited an anonymous source detailing some predictions by Trump Trump that both Ginsburg and Sotomayor could retire during his term. And then there's Justice Breyer, who is 80 years old, and he and Ginsburg were criticized by some in their party for not stepping down when President Obama was still in office. Now, if this happens, this will likely make the debacle with Brett Kavanaugh look like a walk in the park, because all three justices I mentioned are social liberals. I would say this, that fortunately, social conservatives still make up the majority in the Senate, and the House has no direct say in the matter, and probably this is why the president campaigned so heavily for Senate candidates going into the November elections.
You know, I'm thinking as you're giving me that answer there, David, about 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it tells us the first thing each and every one of us as Christians should do is to pray for those in higher authority. And it's talking about political leaders. We need to pray so we'll be able to live a quiet, peaceable, godly life and indeed bring other people to Jesus Christ who need eternal life and the salvation that Jesus does offer. So that would be a great point for us. And you've been talking about political activities, Washington, the president, the United States Congress, etc. Lift them up, dear friends, in prayer. The Bible says, do this first of all, even before you pray for the missionaries or for the evangelists or for your pastor, whatever. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read it. First four verses, really key to our discussion today. David, a few days ago, you sent me an article concerning the decline of Christianity in America. Now, what do you think this tells us going into 2019?
This article cited a survey that I believe came out late last year, and it broke down the demographics of religion in America according to age groups, and it showed that among those who were 65 and older, white evangelical Protestants made up 26% of the United States demographic, and white mainline Protestants made up 19%, and then it went on to white Catholics, black Protestant, Hispanics, Jewish, and others. And what we note is that while that was true of those 65 and older, in the 18 to 29 age bracket, only 8% are white evangelical Protestant. Now, I'm not saying that white has anything to do with it, but the point is that white evangelicals have made up a majority of those in the country for a long time. And so the fact that there's only 8% among those in the younger age group points to the fact that we are seeing problems in reaching the younger generation. And it's not just evangelical Protestants who have seen declines. Catholics have also seen declines. Some have remained about the same, for example, black Protestants and so on. I would say that we can draw some conclusions going into 2019. The seeker-sensitive movement is now around three decades old, and it hasn't produced the results it expected. Neither has the move away from expository preaching in favor of topical messages. I would say that the shift away from dispensationalism in favor of Reformed theology and evangelical churches hasn't produced positive results in reaching the lost. As believers, we're faced with an increasingly secular culture, and we need to learn how to live out our faith without compromise. Church needs to learn how to more effectively reach the youngest among us, because statistically, over 90% of born-again believers trusted in Christ before age 18. And as I noted earlier, the growing number of Hispanics in our country represents a unique opportunity. And in fact, among Hispanic Protestants, that group and the youngest age group is growing. So there are some opportunities as well.
David, we frequently discuss the growing problem of covenant and or replacement theology. Now, could you briefly explain what these are and why they are a concern? And also, if you see this trend continuing into this new year.
Well, covenant theology focuses on the plan of redemption as the unifying theme in Scripture, while dispensationalism focuses on God establishing his kingdom of righteousness. And the covenant view doesn't account for the first two or the last two chapters of the Bible, before the fall and then after the great white throne judgment and the new heaven and the new earth going into eternity future. Covenant theology only holds to one people of God throughout history, whereas dispensationalists see redeemed Israel and the church as two peoples of God God, because God made four unconditional eternal covenants with Israel. So the church hasn't replaced Israel in God's program, meaning that Christ will return to rule over his kingdom for 1,000 years. And this trend in covenant theology will, I'm sure, continue to gain momentum in 2019, with one practical result being that a growing number of individuals, churches, denominations, and ministries, even among evangelicals, will continue to turn their backs on Israel, seeing it as an illegitimate occupier of land belonging to the Palestinians. In fact, on Thursday evening, the first Palestinian elected to the House of Representatives, Rashida Tlaib, began calling for impeachment of the president. And I think in light of the president moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem last year, she may find a more sympathetic hearing because of the entire country moving toward an increasingly anti-Israel stance.
Wow. So these types of possibilities of trends and issues are looking pretty tough as it relates upcoming in 2019. Well, let's just have one more related question, one final, if you will. Do you see any hopeful signs on the horizon for dispensationalism regaining any ground? In other words, the literal interpretation of God's word and a way to understand eschatology, the end time prophetic passages in the Word of God.
Actually, I do see some positive things happening. Even though we've lost schools in the move away from dispensationalism, there are still some that are holding the line, and there are also some newer schools that are gaining traction and turning out some traditional dispensational scholars. So that is encouraging going forward. I'm also one of the administrators of a Facebook group with a number of younger dispensationalists. If our listeners are interested in joining, they can look for the name Scripturally Speaking Biblical Dispensational Theology on Facebook and request to join if they want to follow the discussion. In fact, on Thursday, a member of the group noted that we can no longer rely just on the oldest Bible teachers among us, of which I guess I would include both of us, or on so many who've already gone on. Also that there is a new generation of younger scholars who are traditional dispensationalists that those of us who are older need to be encouraging and giving opportunities. And finally, as I mentioned actually last year, I contributed 5 chapters to a book on understanding dispensationalism that's at the printer right now, and it has 25 different authors and is written for the average person. And it'll be coming out in English, of course, and in as many other languages as possible for international distribution.
Well, what a great opportunity you had, David, there. I look forward to getting a copy of the book myself, trying to fine-tune my approach to dispensationalism. But I want to tell you, friend, study the Word of God literally. That's how you're going to come out in the end. And it tells us what God's plan for the future is all about. David, have a journey's mercies as you travel. Some good teaching time in the Philippines. I guess next time we talk, you'll be out in the Philippines.
Lord willing, we'll catch one another from the other side of the world.
Looking forward to having that conversation, David. Again, we'll be praying for you as you travel.